Okay, well, we're still in Galatians 2:20. We're going to finish it tonight. Hopefully it won't be real long. Last week we left off at the beginning of verse 20, and we're going to read go down to the next part of this, which is we left off with, "I am crucified with Christ." The next part is, "Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God," or "I live in the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." You read this, and we all know this verse, and it's a wonderful verse. I know Earlene really likes this verse a lot. And it has a lot in it. It says, it gets right to the point here. Paul's telling the saints in Galatia, "I am crucified with Christ." And he's trying to get across to them that it's all because of Christ. It has nothing to do with any of us, anything we could do or not do, because we can't do anything without Jesus Christ. And people in the world just can't quite grasp that. And it's right there in front of them. And Paul, you know, we know Paul's epistles. He goes over, he reiterates this a lot, about he preaches Christ crucified and that he died, but he rose again for our transgressions. He starts off stating, I think emphatically, says, "Nevertheless, I live." And so, like I said, the only reason why we live is because of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to go to Romans 6. And we're going to read verses 8 through 11. I know these are familiar, but we want to read them. Look at these verses. Let our eyes fall upon the verses. In verse 7, he says, "For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And well, let's read on down a little further. "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof." This is the world. They let sin reign in mortal bodies, and they obey the lusts of the flesh. 13, "Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall have no dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." It's all grace. It's all God's grace, for sure. Let's slip on over for a minute to Ephesians. Seems like, I don't know, when I study, I seem to end up quite a bit in the epistles. The Romans, the Ephesians, Colossians, I mean, they just fit hand in glove continuously. And this is what Paul was wanting. Paul, when he spoke, he covered every aspect of our Lord Jesus Christ being crucified, and in him we have life and peace and, well, everything just gracious. It's just because of his grace. And so he just intertwines that constantly. And you can read some scriptures and you can go back and cross-reference scripture to scripture. And sometimes, a lot of times, they say kind of the same thing. But if you really, really look at them, they say a lot more than if you just look at the surface of what it says. So you have to really, I mean, I'm finding this out more and more myself, that even though I read some of these scriptures over and over, even when I study from one part to another part, that there's more. that means so much more to each time you read it. And also the references is amazing. So Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. If I didn't say that, I guess I didn't. Well, let's go with 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And he says that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's all by God's grace. Think about what he said. He's raised us up together with him, to sit where? In the heavenly places in Christ. Right? He says, if I go to prepare a place, I come again. And where I am, you should be also. Jesus wants us to be with him. We're with him now as we study his word. We're with him now because we're saved and we love our Lord and we've accepted him into our hearts. And as the word and the Holy Spirit changes that fleshly or that stony heart into a fleshy heart of love, is because of the grace of God and by our faith in Jesus Christ. And as we grow, we just grow in him. I mean, I think we're going to grow and grow and grow and grow through all eternity. I don't really think there's going to be any end to our growth. I wouldn't imagine there would be. As we count ourselves alive in Christ, we count the old creation, or the old I, dead, crucified with Christ. But see, now we have the new I, the creation in Christ, as Paul says in Galatians 2:20. And let's see here. The new I, he says, but Christ liveth in me. He says, yet not I, but Christ liveth me, back in our chapter in 2:20, Galatians, which I now live in the flesh, I live by, let's see here, by faith in the Son of God who loved me. So you see the new creation here, that we live by him. We don't live in the flesh anymore, we live in Christ. Christ is in us, and we're so grateful that we have that life, that new life, that new resurrection life that we have in Christ Jesus. It's precious. I know that each one of us have come to know the Lord at one point in time in our lives, and everybody can say without a doubt that what a blessing, what a precious moment that is in our life. To accept Jesus as our Savior, and then to go further with him, walk with the Lord even further, get into the Word deeper, let him into our lives deeper and deeper, we fall in love with him. And the deeper we go with him, then the Holy Spirit. When you're infilled with the Holy Spirit, then the real truth of the Word comes out, and you start to understand deeper and deeper, and you become deeper in love with our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a wonderful thing. 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 5, and verse 17 through 19, we'll read. Basically says the same thing, but it says it just a little different. It just explains it another way. Paul says here in verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 5, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, or new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Right? To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So there's a lot here, right? He didn't, you know, Christ came in to take away our sins. We were guilty of everything. We were just guilty. Guilty in sin, but because of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God had the perfect plan of salvation. This is God's plan of salvation. It's been said many times, it's not really our plan of salvation. If we had our way, we'd still be wandering around in sin. And we'd just still be lost, and we wouldn't have no... We wouldn't have nowhere to go. And I'll tell you what, people without the Lord don't have anywhere to go. Because if they're looking to this world to go somewhere in this world, they're on a dead end path. Yeah, they truly are. Ephesians 4, and I like to read 21 through 24. Ephesians 4. Paul's kind of scolding him a little bit here. He says, but you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation or conduct or manner of life of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, we're putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor. We are members one of another. So Paul's kind of laying it out for him that, you know, this is what you need to do. This is the difference. Again, it's putting off the old man, putting off the old manner of life. He says over and over, which is corrupt. He's trying to tell different ones here that, for some reason, they want to kind of go back to this corruption of the old nature. And I know that we have the old creation in us, and I know that we battle day by day, minute by minute, even sometimes, because Satan is right there to pull you off the track and off the path to righteousness, and he does very well at it. And even if you just, in your mind for a moment, just take your mind, your thoughts, away from the Lord, then the old man has creeped back in for just that second, maybe that minute, you know. And that's why, so I think Paul recognized this more than anyone. You know, I think Paul had a lot of time when he was in prison. Of course, he was singing and he was writing the letters and stuff, but he was praying all the time. And I think Paul, as he grew, because he was Saul at one time, okay, so when he became Paul, and he started doing the work of the Lord and going out and all the traveling he did when he could and in the prisons he was in, I think he knew more than anybody how that little space of, I don't know, minute space in your thoughts or your mind, how Satan can get in and cause you to slip a little bit. And I suppose in prison there were a lot of nasty people in there, and they were probably yelling at him, shut up, and everything else, probably at one time or another. You know, we all fail sometimes. And sometimes we lapse into sin. Now, I don't want to say that we're overcome by the flesh, because we really, you know, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we shouldn't let ourselves be overcome by the flesh, because we know better. And I know that each one here knows that when we start to get a little too far out of the circumspect of the Lord, we call out to the Lord. That's all you got to do, is call out to Jesus, you know, and you're right back in there again. You need to stay in the Word. You need to stay in the Lord, and you need to think about the Lord all the time. I mean, everything you do, everywhere you go, the Lord is with you. And he should be on our mind, and he should be in our hearts constantly, every step we take. And I think that sometimes when I was thinking and studying this, I was thinking that a lot of people, I think they just, I don't know if they're afraid or they want this and they want that. They don't want one or the other, they want both. Can't have both. Can't have the world and you can't have the Lord. And I think sometimes because of that, they fail to really see the truth in the Word. And also, if they read it, when they see the truth, so many of God's people want to stop what's just being saved. They see the truth of the Word, but they don't want to launch out. They don't want to get into the deep Word, meaning a deep domain of the indwelling of the life of Christ and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. They do not want to go any further. They want to stop right where they're at. It's like they, Lord opened the door, they accepted Christ, they went in, and that's as far as they want to go. It's like they don't want to go any further with the Lord. They don't want to keep going with the Lord and get into His Word and have that desire to dig into the Word and have that Word dwell in our life, because that Word dwells in our life more and more. It's so rich and full and precious. God wants us to have it all. He doesn't want us to have part of it. He doesn't want us to stop at the doorway. He doesn't want us to stop with one or two steps with the Lord. He wants us to go all the way. The Apostle Paul is a great example for us, that he went all the way with the Lord, didn't he? He ran the race. He went all the way. When he was Saul, he went all the way the other way, persecuting, prosecuting the Christians, the believers. But, you know, when he got turned around, he gave all he had to the Lord. He gave his whole heart, body, and soul to the Lord. And we talked about how he finished his race course. How did he do it? He kept the faith. He stayed in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ and the faith of the Word. You know, in our verse there, it says in one part, it says, "Yet not I." But Paul takes no credit for believing. He takes no credit for me or I. He gives all the credit to the Lord Jesus Christ and to our Heavenly Father, because he says, "I am crucified with Christ, yet not I." Right? Yet not I. And I think I've read this verse many times and I thought, yet not I. Yet not I. And I keep thinking about that, yet not I. When Saul was chosen by the Lord, or was met on the road to Damascus, the Lord met him there. Saul was, well, kind of had that old creation in him, okay? And so Saul was kind of the old creation guy. And the Lord met him on the road to Damascus, and Jack always said, he turned him about face, and man, did he ever. And to serve the Lord as Paul, because he gave him a new name, right? Because it was a new creation in Christ Jesus. Paul the apostle to the church age. And I say again, it is of nothing we've done. Paul knew this more than anyone. And the Lord told him that. He said, "I will show you what you will suffer for my name's sake." And Paul suffered a lot for the name of the Lord. But you know, I'm glad that Paul was chosen by the Lord, and I'm glad that we have his epistles, and I'm glad that we can read his word. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 4 and 5. Well, I want to read, what did I say? 4 and 5. I'm going to start in verse 1. "Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. He says, "For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in the tables of stone, but in the fleshy tables of the heart, right? And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." So our dependence should always be on the Lord. We should realize right away how little we are and how much we need to grow in the Lord. Our growth, our stature should be of the Lord. Let's go back here. I got a couple more and we'll be done here. Romans 14. I got this new Bible. I tell you what, this thing gives me fits. Well, I went through the pages, you know, and did all that, but still it just, well, they're so thin. And I tend to rip them. And Romans 14, chapter 14, verse 7 and 8. And it simply said, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself." Right? "For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are what? The Lord's. We belong to the Lord." It's such, aren't you glad? Aren't you really glad you belong to the Lord? I am. I never was so happy to know the Lord, and really, I'm happier every moment I read the Word and get to know Him even more, and a deeper fellowship with the Lord and our Heavenly Father. I go to Philippians 1 with me and read, we're going to read just two verses here. Philippians 1. Well, we'll start in verse 9. "And this I pray," right, Paul says, "and this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places." So what Paul's saying here is that he's saying, no matter what happened to me, the things that have fallen out to Paul, it was for the furtherance of the gospel, right? All the things that he suffered for the furtherance of the gospel. He went through everything and all things, but what did he want? He wanted us to be filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ. He wanted us to know that all these things, he wasn't saying, "Hey, look at this, this happened to me and this happened." He didn't really care about that so much. What he wanted to, he wanted to let them know more than anything about our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he wanted. And let's see, let's go one more time. I'm just going to read the verse again, Galatians 2:20. "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." The Apostle Paul just wanted all who ever read these epistles and reads the Word of God that he preached Jesus Christ crucified and exactly what it all means. You want to know what it all means? You got to get in this. And I'm going to read, I got two more verses, I'm sorry, two more verses. 2 Corinthians 4, should have read it while I was over here, I guess. And yes, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. "We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but though our outer man perish, yet the human man, the inward man is renewed day by day. Let's think about that. Day by day. It can't be renewed day by day if you just sit around and do nothing. It has to be renewed by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God. As that word fills you up, you grow day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Paul said the things that he suffered and anything that we may suffer is a light affliction. Because what? Because it's just for a moment. Just for a moment. But it worketh far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Why, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I know everybody knows that, and it's a precious portion there. Oh, where am I? I got one more to read, and we're done. Titus 2, chapter 2. I want you to follow along with this too, if you would please, or just sit and listen, it's fine. Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world or this present age. Why? Because we should be doing this, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So just stay in the Word, grow in the Lord. And you'll be truly blessed. Truly blessed. Oh.